This is Bloomberg, the first word for this Wednesday, July 20th, 2016. Coming up this hour,
Microsoft gains in early trading after reporting earnings that topped estimates.
Pacific Investment Management Company appoints a new CEO.
U.S. authorities are said to take their first action tied to the 1MDB probe.
The children of Donald Trump gave us a glimpse of their father on day two of the Republican National Convention. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets held on in Chicago, topped the Cubs 2-1. Yankees are over 500. Easy win over the Orioles, and Tiger Woods says he won't play golf at all in 2016.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg, the first word. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg, the first word is brought to you by CGMA, Chartered Global Management Accountant. The CGMA designation and program delivers critical skills your finance team needs to succeed. Learn more at cgma.org/radio.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 8 points. Dow E-mini futures up 77. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. The CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.25%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 1.56%. The yield on the two-year, 0.69%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 8 cents to $44.57 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6.70 to $13.25.70 an ounce. The euro, $1.1007, the yen 106.60.
Microsoft shares are up 4% in early trading today after reporting profit and sales that topped analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
Microsoft was lifted by an aggressive push into internet-based software and services for businesses. Fiscal fourth quarter revenue, including some adjustments, came in at $22.6 billion, compared with the average analyst estimate for $22.1 billion. Revenue from Azure, the company's corporate cloud platform, doubled in the quarter ending June 30th. CEO Satya Nadella has been trying to reorient Microsoft's business around cloud and productivity services as traditional software sales shrink. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. PIMCO has named Manny Roman as its next chief executive, and Bloomberg's Ryan Chilcote has more.
Karen and Bob, Manny Roman has been the CEO of Man Group, the world's largest publicly traded hedge fund manager, since 2013. How does his performance at the helm measure up to his peers during that period? Well, you can measure that using the Bloomberg Management function. Total rate of return of Man Group's peers during Roman's tenure was just over 2%. Roman's 11.5%. Ryan Chilcote, Bloomberg Radio, London.
Thanks, Ryan. Equities in Europe are heading higher this morning. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Manus Cranny in our London bureau. Good morning, Manus.
Bob, good day to you. European stocks hitting a four-week high. It's all been driven by technology and autos. For me, the market's been driven less by the IMF downgrade and growth and more about the hope for the next round of stimulus. Technologies and autos and banks take the markets higher. Delving a little bit deeper in the German market, Volkswagen up 5.8%. Their top-line profit beat. SAP, again, profitability topped out there. Clients are moving to new software. McDermott, the CEO, said they had an extraordinary second quarter. SAP up 4.25%. And if you want to think how to get involved in the $3 billion shaving market in the United States of America, leave it to Unilever. Buy Dollar Shave. That's what they're doing. They're paying $1 billion to access over 3 million subscribers for online shaving treatment. That's the state of play. Brisk march higher on European equities. Bob, Karen.
All right, Manus Cranny in our London bureau. Thanks, Manus. In Asia today, stocks finished mostly higher, lifting the regional index back to three-month highs. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Hong Kong developer and casino stocks rallied, setting a gauge of equities in the city towards a bull market. Hong Kong's dual-listed stocks traded at the narrowest discount to their mainland Chinese counterparts since October, as cheaper valuations in the city lured investors. Australian stocks rallied despite a fall in BHP Billiton shares, closing at their highest level since August. Indonesia and Thailand equities climbed towards a one-year high. But the TOPIX index had its first fall in 6 days, Nintendo shares falling close to 13% after their recent Pokemon Go fueled rally, and the A-share market in Shanghai also closed lower. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Appreciate it, Juliet. U.S. federal prosecutors are expected to file civil lawsuits to seize assets allegedly purchased with money from One Malaysia Development, or 1MDB. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the move could come as early as this morning. 1MDB is Malaysia's state-owned investment fund, which has spurred criminal and regulatory investigations around the world, casting an unflattering spotlight on financial deal-making, election spending, and political patronage. There are probes related to the fund in at least 10 countries. This would be the U.S. government's first action tied to 1MDB.
Morgan Stanley reports second quarter results this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says weaker numbers may be on the way. Analysts say Morgan Stanley may have seen a 24% drop in its per-share profit. The investment bank is more focused on equities, which may have underperformed fixed income gains over the last 3 months. Staff cuts carried out at the end of last year likely helped to lower costs. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley to post a profit of 59 cents a share on revenue of $8.3 billion. Buy ratings slightly outnumber hold ratings on the company. Morgan Stanley gets just 2 sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Jeff. According to people familiar with the plan, Spotify is aiming to go public in the second half of next year. The Swedish company has raised $1 billion in convertible debt from investors. That values the company at more than $8 billion. Spotify dominates paid music streaming with more than 30 million customers. Most pay $10 a month for a library of millions of songs. Last year's sales almost doubled to $2.2 million. Still, Spotify has lost money every year in its 10-year existence.
And state officials in the U.S. allege that Volkswagen's diesel cheating went on for far longer than the company has acknowledged. The attorneys general for New York, Maryland, and Massachusetts say the first known instance of VW rigging diesel engines occurred in 1999, and then the company spent the next decade perfecting its so-called defeat devices for use in Europe and the U.S. And this is Bloomberg, the first word.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. This hour of the first word is brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. Well, the GOP has its nominee. Michael Barr, it's taken a long time, hasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. They are now the Republican Party's official team for the November presidential election. In a meteoric rise, delegates at the Republican National Convention have formally nominated Donald Trump and his running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports all that's left now is for Trump to officially accept the nomination.
The Stop Trump movement in the party never got a foothold on day two, addressing the convention via video uplink.
I'm so proud to be your nominee for President of the United States. I look forward to sharing my thoughts with you on Thursday night on how we build a brighter and more hopeful future for all Americans.
He will accept the nomination then. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio, San Francisco.
We also got a glimpse of Donald Trump, the father. Donald Trump Jr. spoke at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland last night.
That president can only be my mentor, my best friend, my father, Donald Trump.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie took aim at Hillary Clinton during his speech last night before the convention, leading the crowd in chants of lock her up.
Tonight, as a former federal prosecutor, I welcome the opportunity to hold Hillary Rodham Clinton accountable for her performance and her character.
Trump's running mate Mike Pence will speak tonight. Hillary Clinton swiped back at Donald Trump during a stop in Las Vegas yesterday.
We need to write a new chapter in the American dream, and it can't be Chapter 11.
It's the second time this year Kansas City, Kansas, has lost a police officer to a shooting. Authorities say Captain Robert Melton was shot in his vehicle yesterday when he encountered a man who fit the description of a suspect in a drive-by shooting. The man was arrested shortly after Melton was shot. President Obama promised to spend the rest of his days in office looking for ways to protect police officers and address tensions between law enforcement and minorities. The president sent an open letter to law enforcement yesterday, writing, "We must come together to ensure that those who try to divide us do not succeed." Writer and director Gary Marshall has died at age 81. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
That guy was a funny guy. It is now 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for your Land Rover Parsippany Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. It was expected to be a pitcher's duel with Noah Syndergaard facing Jake Arrieta, and it was at Wrigley Field, and a thrilling finish at the end.
Swing and a bouncing ball to third. Reyes has it. Goes to second. One. Walker to first. Low throw. Lodi's got it. Double play. Put it in the box. Oh, what a Houdini act by Jerry's Familia. The bases were loaded. Nobody out in the bottom of the ninth. Familia gets a couple of ground balls to get three outs, and the Mets pull it off.
On WOR, Howie Rose the call. The Mets had scored top of the ninth inning, so they held on. They topped the Cubs 2-1. Washington lost to the Dodgers 8-4, so the Mets trailed the Nats by 5.5. Miami won 10 innings at Philadelphia, so the Mets are a game behind Miami. They're in third place, but the Yankees are in fourth. They're five games out of a playoff spot, but they are over 500. That's only happened one other time since April. 7-1 win over Baltimore. Got great pitching for the third night in a row, this time from Nathan Eovaldi, who won as a starting pitcher for the first time since May. Big three in the bullpen got the night off, and Anthony Swierczyk stepped up. 2 2/3 of hitless relief. He worked out of a bases-loaded jam in the sixth inning. Starlin Castro, the hitting star, with a homer and four RBIs. The Yanks have not been two games over 500 all season. They go for that tonight. Red Sox within a half game at first. They shut down the Giants 4-0 at Fenway. The Tiger Woods news, not a surprise. Won't play the upcoming PGA Championship at Baltusrol, and his ailing back will keep him off the course all of 2016. The question now is if he'll ever be back. Tiger really has not played at a top level since 2013. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Just breaking on the Bloomberg, Temasek offers to buy out Singapore rail operator SMRT Corp. S&P E-mini futures now up 8 points. That is a third of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg, the first word on Bloomberg Radio. The sports report was brought to you by Land Rover Parsippany. If it's in your nature to cast off the everyday and seek adventure, the Discovery Sport was built to help your search. Visit LandRoverParsippany.com or call 1-800-FIND-4WD. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by ETFX Exchange 16, the NY Mellon's annual ETF symposium, September 19th to the 21st in Dana Point, California. A must attend for RIAs. Space is limited, so register now at bnymellon.com/ETF. Volkswagen saying earnings in the first half, excluding charges stemming from the emissions cheating scandal, exceeded analyst estimates due to improved performance at its namesake car brand. And Temasek is offering to buy out Singapore rail operator SMRT Corporation. Another busy day for earnings ahead. Morgan Stanley, Halliburton, Intel, Qualcomm, American Express, and eBay all scheduled to report. Equities edging higher in Asia and Europe as positive earnings news from some of the world's biggest companies counter concern the global economy is losing steam. The dollar strengthening while gold retreats, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures higher, up about 8 points. Dow E-mini futures up 74. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 17. The DAX in Germany's up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32. The yield 1.56%. NYMEX crude oil, a little changed at $44.65 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6.50 to $13.25.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1007, and the yen, 106.62. And SAP reported results that topped analyst estimates as the company put a weak start to the year behind it and closed more software deals despite political turmoil in Europe. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, while Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's triumph continues inside the convention hall, protests planned outside today could fuel simmering tension. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has been crowned as the Republican standard bearer in the presidential election. All Trump has to do now is to officially accept the nomination. Today, Trump's running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, and Senator Ted Cruz will speak at the convention. In sports in Major League Baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles. The Mets beat the Cubs. The Red Sox shut out the Giants. The A's won. The Nationals lost. In golf, Tiger Woods withdrew from the PGA Championship, and that means for the first time ever in his career, Woods will go an entire year without playing a major. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Brief. News, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts.
And we're glad to have Andre Soleani Costa with us. He writes for our Bloomberg Brief on Latin America. Good morning, Andre.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Good, thank you. It's looking like Brazil will probably hold on interest rates tomorrow night, and this time around the decision is significant, isn't it?
Yep. Actually, it's tonight. Ilan Goldfein, the new central banker, is debut now. He's holding his first policy meeting right now, and analysts expect him to hold rates, as you said. I mean, the big question is, when the statement comes out, is people trying to find hints of when he's going to start cutting rates? And he has a very hard task ahead of him. He needs to revive an economy that's in the worst recession since 1931, and at the same time bring inflation back to target that's right now running at 9%, almost 9%. That's twice the target.
And this is the first meeting that he's going to head as the new central banker.
Exactly. Not only him, another four directors are also debuting in this meeting. It's a 9 board member. What traders think is that they're going to have room to start cutting rates sometime in October, and they're going to bring rates down to about 13.5% by the end of this year, and maybe even below 12% by the end of next year. The rates now are at 14.25%. So far, investors are still in the honeymoon with the central banker, with Ilan Goldfein, giving him a lot of confidence that he's going to be able to pull this out. If you take a look at the real, which fell the day Turkey had the attempted coup, has been going up for 2 days now, for Monday and Tuesday. It's not trading yet in Brazil today. Stocks went up too, so it seems investors and traders have confidence that Ilan Goldfein is going to be able to not only revive growth, but also bring inflation down.
So since you bring up Turkey, let me ask you, what was the impact of the Turkish coup attempt on Latin America in general?
I mean, that's a good question. I mean, this is a risk-off event, and what we expect is that when risk-off events happen, there's a sell-off in emerging markets, including Latin America, and that actually happened on Friday. But on this week, assets are gaining again. It seems it's the search for the high yield, as always. Latin America is still offering very high yields compared to the developed world. So what we saw in the past 2 days are investors getting back and trusting that Latin America is going to go in the right track. I mean, I think Brazil is the biggest example, probably. The currency is actually trading at a stronger level than it was trading before the Turkey event.
Any havens in Latin America?
Well, I think calling havens, maybe it's an exaggeration, but it seems that investors see Latin America as a place where you get enough yields given the risk, right? To take a look at Brazil, for example, it offers probably the highest carry trade in the world right now, with rates at 14.25%, an outlook where there is trust in the government that's now, from investors that's now in place, Temer's government. They expect rates to come down, inflation to come down, so I'm not sure you can call it a haven, but there's certainly opportunities that investors are seeing in the region.
Okay, got about a minute left here. Colombia is going to hold a plebiscite on the peace process.
Yep.
Tell us about that.
Yep. The date is not yet decided. What happened this week was that the High Court agreed with President Santos' plan of holding the plebiscite in which only 13% of the eligible voters could need to vote to make it a valid plebiscite. The peace process seems to be coming to the final stages. Last month, you probably remember, Bob, they signed a ceasefire agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And people are expecting that the talks in Havana will resume soon. It's hard to say when. I mean, this is a process that's been going on for several years now. Investors see the Columbia peace process as a credit positive event. Bank of America estimates, for example, that GDP will grow by an additional 0.3 percentage points a year because of the peace process. The government expects an even bigger gain, 1 percentage point gain a year of GDP. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are some concerns. It's not clear how this is going to happen. And there's also some concerns from some investors of the fiscal impact.
Okay. All right.
The peace process may have.
Andre Soleanacosta writes for our Bloomberg Brief on Latin America. You can read his analysis and other news, market data, and expert commentary from the world's most trusted economists and analysts in the Bloomberg Brief digital newsletters. Bloomberg, the first word, brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg the First Word.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. PIMCO has named Manny Roman as its next chief executive officer. Roman will replace Douglas Hodge effective November 1st. Hodge, who presided over a tumultuous time that included the departure of Bill Gross and a plunge in assets at the firm, will remain at PIMCO as a managing director and senior advisor. Roman had been CEO of Man Group, the world's largest publicly traded hedge fund manager.
Microsoft shares up more than 4% in early trading after reporting profit and sales that topped analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Corey Johnson has the story from our San Francisco bureau.
Growth in their cloud division continues apace, growth about 6.6%. But that's down from the 7.6% of just 9 months ago. So not growing like gangbusters as the company really turns its shift from traditional licensed software towards the cloud. However, its Microsoft Azure business doubled, in fact, over the course of a year. So that business growing at a fantastic pace and indeed growing even faster than its bigger competitor in Amazon Web Services. So across the board, Microsoft generally beating estimates. And in the face of the declines in the PC business that it once relied upon so desperately, maybe things could have been a lot worse for Microsoft. Corey Johnson, Bloomberg, San Francisco.
Thanks, Corey. U.S. federal prosecutors are expected to file civil lawsuits to seize assets allegedly purchased with money from One Malaysia Development, or One MDB. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says the move could come as early as this morning. This would be the U.S. government's first action tied to the One MDB probe.
And Singapore state investment firm Temasek Holdings has offered $1.9 billion to buy out SMRT Corporation. That's Singapore's biggest subway operator. The offer is 8.7% above the price at which shares last changed hands July 15th before a trading halt.
And the Volatility Index Report is brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesVIX. The VIX was down 3.78% yesterday to close at 11.97. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are 2.75%, well now 2.75% lower to 11.65. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 7 points. Dow E-mini futures up 70. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 16. DAX in Germany's up 1.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. The yield 1.56%. The euro, $1.1008. And this is Bloomberg, the first word.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Bentley University. What do tying up the finances at Converse and managing asset allocations at J.P. Morgan have in common? A business degree from Bentley University. Because business is everywhere. Prepare here. Well, he sure sounded like he'll accept the nomination. The latest now from the Republican convention. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Bob. Donald Trump and his running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence, were officially nominated to be the Republicans' pick for the White House during day two of the party's national convention. All that's left for Trump is to officially accept it tomorrow. Trump spoke remotely to delegates in Cleveland during a video feed from New York.
A little over 1 year ago, I announced my candidacy for president, and with your vote today, this stage of the presidential process has come to a close.
The children of Donald Trump gave us a glimpse of their father at the Republican National Convention. Donald Trump Jr. says for his father, impossible is just the starting point.
I've seen it time and time again, that look in his eyes when someone says it can't be done. I saw that look a little over a year ago when he was told he couldn't possibly succeed in politics. Yes, he did.
Tonight, Mike Pence will speak at the convention along with Trump's former Republican rival and Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Hillary Clinton weighed in on the Republican National Convention. Clinton, speaking to a union crowd in Las Vegas, says we can do a lot better than that.
They spent most of their time attacking me and President Obama rather than making any kind of argument about the future we want to build for our country.
Kansas City, Kansas is in mourning over the loss of a police captain shot and killed during the search for a suspect in a drive-by shooting. The suspect was captured just minutes after he allegedly shot Captain Robert Melton. A diverse crowd of hundreds attended a rally supporting law enforcement officers at Baton Rouge Police Headquarters. The police station is a mile from where three officers were shot to death Sunday morning. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. That brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street. Now, with your Land Rover Parsippany, Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Bob. The Yankees are still in fourth place in their division. Still said to be involved in trade talks that would signal a waving of the white flag on the season, but they've won three in a row to move over 500 for just the second time since April last night at the stadium, jumping in front of the first-place Orioles.
Here's a 3-1.
Swung on and driven to deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Into the second deck. Starlight, star bright. Starlin just hit one with all his might.
WFAN, Starlin Castro later with a two-run double. Chase Headley, a two-run homer. 7-1 over Baltimore as Nathan Eovaldi returned to the rotation at his best outing since May. Yanks are 47-46. They haven't been two over 500 all year. Ed Wrigley, Mets scored top of the ninth inning and held on in the bottoms. Chris Bryant hit into a game-ending double play, and Jerry's Familia working out of a bases-loaded jam. Mets over the Cubs 2-1. A no decision for Noah Syndergaard, but a strong outing after he had been complaining of arm fatigue. Also, Red Sox over the Giants 4-0. Three-run homer for the ageless David Ortiz. San Francisco 0-4 since the All-Star break. Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw will remain on the disabled list with an injured back. He was due to return this week, but has had a setback in his recovery. Tiger Woods continues to have an ailing back. Three surgeries over the last 3 years. Tiger hasn't played at all in 2016. It was made official that he won't, so he'll miss the upcoming PGA Championship at Baltusrol in New Jersey. The Giants, New York Giants, announced three additions to their Ring of Honor. Tom Coughlin, Justin Tuck, and former general manager Ernie Karse. Of course, they'll all go in at a Monday night game in mid-November. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
The UK's new Prime Minister, Theresa May, has said leaving the European Union is her mandate. That much may be clear, but little else is. Britain's future relationship with the EU could take many forms. At one extreme is an acrimonious divorce that would leave the UK more separated from Europe's economies than many other non-members. At the other is something so close to EU membership that Brexit would make little difference. The greatest danger lies in letting this uncertainty persist. As yet, however, there's no blueprint for the future relationship. To be sure, if the UK wants full access to the EU's single market in goods, services, and capital, it will have to accept Europe's rules on trade. EU leaders insist that Britain will also have to agree to the free movement of workers. Yet nothing is stopping them from granting Britain a measure of control over the movement of people. Opting out of free movement carries significant costs for Britain. Its own citizens would face restrictions on their ability to work and live in Europe. Maximum economic integration plus control of migration is the right place to start, and Europe's leaders should open their minds to it. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. United Continental Holdings reported second quarter profit yesterday that flew above analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has details.
Lower fuel and operating costs overcame weak fares. United said it plans to trim growth for 2016 and now sees full-year capacity increasing no more than 1.5% last year, compared with the previous plan to grow by as much as 2%. The scale-back expansion follows a similar move by Delta Airlines last week. Investors have urged carriers to cut seats or flights to strengthen fares and make unit revenue, a key industry gauge, rise again after falling for more than a year. United's board also authorized a new $2 billion share buyback plan. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Charlie. To China now, where the yuan has advanced the most in a month amid bets China's central bank is intervening. Bloomberg First Word Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The People's Bank of China strengthened the fix today, even with a stronger dollar. That sent a signal to traders that for the time being, the PBOC wants to prevent the yuan from slipping past 6.70 to the dollar. Right or wrong, many traders have seen that as a line in the sand for the PBOC. The renminbi rose 0.5% to 6.68 this morning after dropping past 6.70 for the first time in 5 years on Monday. Now, most economists do see a weaker yuan in the second half of the year, but the PBOC's stated policy is for a stable exchange rate, so any weakening will likely be gradual. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Radio, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Brian. And China's largest movie distributor is planning a $611 million initial public offering later this month. China Film Company plans to offer shares on the Shanghai Stock Exchange on July 28th. The offering would be the biggest ever in China's entertainment industry. S&P E-mini futures currently up 7 points. That is 0.3%. And this is Bloomberg, the first word. The first word brought to you by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer. The star you've been wishing for is waiting at the Mercedes-Benz summer event. Head to your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer for more details. Hurry before this star flies by.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures rising this morning. Now let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing today, with Dow futures currently higher by 68 points. S&P's gained 7 and Nasdaq futures rise by 16. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.57%. Hong Kong gained 1% overnight, while in Europe, France, Germany, and Spain each gain at least 1% as well. On the U.S. economic front at 10:30, energy inventory numbers. And after the bell last night, Intuitive Surgical raised its forecast for 2016 procedure growth. Microsoft beat, shares are higher by 4% pre-market. And United Airlines is buying back $2 billion in stock. Q2 adjusted EPS also beat estimates. Regarding earnings today, Polaris cut EPS sales forecasts and look for Halliburton, Morgan Stanley, and Abbott Labs to report later this morning. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. Splunk and Workday cut to neutral versus buy over at Citigroup. Bank of America downgrades Steel Dynamics, Nucor, and Kaiser Aluminum. Union Pacific to your price and Ameritrade cut to hold over at Deutsche Bank. Genesco cut to equate at Morgan Stanley. Disney cut to hold over at Stifel. And Wynn Resorts cut to neutral versus buy over at UBS. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K Go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, police in Kansas City, Kansas say an officer was shot and killed yesterday while sitting in his patrol car. They say the officer pulled up to someone matching the description of a suspect in a drive-by shooting. The person opened fire, hitting the officer multiple times. The alleged shooter was caught a few minutes later. Writer and director Gary Marshall has died at age 81. A 65-year-old Russian adventurer is battling sleep deprivation and freezing temperatures as he tries to fly solo in a balloon around the world nonstop. He has drifted more than halfway around the world since he lifted off from Western Australia July 12th. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees down the Orioles, the Mets beat the Cubs, the Red Sox shut out the Giants, the A's won, the Nationals lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thank you. Time now to check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories our D.C. Bureau is watching today are actually happening in Cleveland, where Donald Trump formally became the Republican presidential nominee, and Republican leaders took to the stage last night to warn of the dangers of a Hillary Clinton presidency.
They are offering a third Obama term brought to you by another Clinton.
She will be appointing people who will have an effect on us for generations, and America may never recover from that.
I welcome the opportunity to hold Hillary Rodham Clinton accountable for her performance and her character.
Paul Ryan, Ben Carson, and then the last voice you heard there was Chris Christie, all taking aim at Hillary Clinton. We're focusing this morning on the New Jersey governor. Now that he's been passed over for vice president, what will Christie's new role be in Donald Trump's campaign? Writing about it today, Bloomberg's Terrence Dopp, who joins us now. Good morning. It's not as if he won't be a key player in the Trump campaign going forward, both on the stump and preparing behind the scenes, right?
Morning. No. Well, no. He's been doing quite a bit of both this week here at the convention. He's been pretty busy having meetings, apparently, for cabinet-level transition meetings, as well as, coming out, he was one of the top surrogates when there was the Melania Trump plagiarism scandal. He was one of the more in-demand surrogates on national TV. So he's been plenty busy on both fronts.
And are we going to see him be a major spokesman for the campaign until the general election?
I don't know their exact plans about deploying him, but obviously if this week was any indication, I mean, they sent him out there. He was obviously someone they trusted, someone they wanted to have out there. So he himself took a very big role.
Where did this narrative come from that Christie was somehow being scorned by Trump before the convention?
Well, he was a very early backer, if you remember. He was the first real major establishment Republican to back Trump. And he had been seen really being there with Trump and really doing Trump's work. So I think the feeling was that it had come down to a close race between Mike Pence and Chris Christie. And I think people felt like Chris Christie had really put himself out there. And so there was, of course, a little bit of chagrin that he wasn't the choice.
And if Donald Trump should win the presidency, what kind of talk has there been about Mr. Christie having a position in a Trump administration?
Well, Trump himself has said that his full expectation is that Chris Christie will be involved in any sort of Trump government. The two positions you hear Christie talked about a lot, or that he would really want, were the chief of staff position or the attorney general's position. And last night you saw Christie lead a speech in an arena full of people out here in Cleveland. He led them in a mock prosecution of Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to see that is not in some way aimed at being attorney general.
Bloomberg's Terrence Dopp, thank you very much. You can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Well, now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. It's brought to you by National Realty, providers of 100% satisfaction guaranteed New York City Realty Investments. See them at NRIA.net. Now here's John Tucker.
Every year, the peaceful town of Worcester, Massachusetts, is invaded by robots.
Okay, Area B, starting 3, 2, 1.
Their creators, call them tech geeks or would-be entrepreneurs, are drawn here for a chance to win a NASA competition to help create the next Mars rover. In June, about 20 teams tried to pass level one to win more than $5,000. The challenges include navigating a field and picking up a rock autonomously.
Yes. Yes.
It's part of the NASA Centennial Challenge, born in 2011. In the next phase of the competition, they'll have to complete a course and pick up 9 items with no human intervention. A $1.5 million prize is at stake. In 5 years, the prize has remained unclaimed. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
Thank you, John. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Who would have thought that Ford Motor Company would be teaming up with a tequila producer? It's not hard to imagine the carmaker's first impression might have echoed that old 1980s Steely Dan song. But Ford and Jose Cuervo do have something in common. They're testing use of a tequila byproduct, fiber from the agave plant, to develop more sustainable plastics for parts used in the carmaker's vehicles. Debbie Maluski is a technical leader in Ford's Sustainability Research Department.
Cuervo has access to about 200 to 300 tons of agave that they juice every day. This huge quantity of agave fiber is dried, and we put it into plastic, and we've been molding parts, and we've been quite happy with the way the fiber looks, its durability, its lighter weight, and better for the planet.
Maluski points out that there are about 400 pounds of plastic on a typical car. And that's your Bloomberg Green Business Report. It's now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. When the Republican convention broke for the night on Monday, everyone on the cable news networks agreed that Melania Trump's speech had been good. An hour later, everyone was talking about how much her apparent plagiarism from Michelle Obama's 2008 convention speech would hurt the Trump campaign. Trump supporters argue that her sentiments about the value of integrity and hard work are so anodyne that the resemblance could simply be coincidence. That defense won't stand. The similarities are simply too strong. As a fellow writer once observed, highlighting as few as 7 words of your own writing and searching on Google for an exact match is likely to produce exactly one hit, your work. Now, I'm not talking about elaborate sentences. I'm talking about boring fragments like, and I'm not talking about elaborate sentences. Whoever wrote Melania Trump's speech pretty clearly looked at Michelle Obama's speech, changed a few words, and presented them as Melania's own. This is stunning incompetence and of a piece with the understaffed, poorly managed Trump campaign. Just witness the fact that they chose to deny the clear plagiarism rather than simply firing the staffer responsible and moving on. This convention was supposed to be the event that established Donald Trump as someone who had what it takes to win the presidency and to serve in that most demanding of offices. So far, it has only established him as someone who doesn't really understand what it takes to do either job. I'm Megan McArdle, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more View, go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard hourly, weekday mornings.
All right, thanks, Bob. We're watching headlines crossing the Bloomberg. We're getting earnings from Morgan Stanley right now. Second quarter profit coming in at 75 cents a share. Analysts were looking for 60 cents, and I'm looking at equity sales and trading revenue came in at $2.15 billion. Analysts were looking for $2.11 billion. So that just beat. Also, revenue here, net revenue in the second quarter, $8.91 billion. Analysts looking for $8.31 billion. So net revenue beating as well. Investment banking revenue also beating. And we will keep an eye on these headlines as they cross the Bloomberg, as Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's also a day when futures are moving higher. S&P E-mini futures are up 7 points, Dow E-mini futures up 66, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 15. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg, the first word, and Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.